It's great to gather with you again this morning. Over the holidays, many of us have been in and out of the cities, so it's a joy to be able to gather again first Sunday of 2018 as we look ahead with anticipation and hope about what God's going to do this year in us and through us. And as you, we'll look at that handout in a little bit, but as we look ahead in terms of our preaching schedule, just to give you a kind of a preview, next Sunday we have the privilege of hearing from Phil once again from the book of 1 Peter, and then after that I'll plan to start a new series the following Sunday on Paul's letter to the Galatians, which I'm looking forward to very much, and we'll probably be in the book of Galatians most of the first half of 2018. But for today, as I've thought about what to focus on for this first Sunday of 2018, I've decided to set before us a theme rather than simply one text, a theme that's discussed all over the New Testament, and a theme that's also discussed, as we'll see, throughout our church documents, the theme of caring for one another, or affectionately caring for each other. Now, what does the Bible actually say about this? More specifically, what does the New Testament say about three things related to the care that happens in the church? What does the New Testament say about Jesus' care for the church? What does the New Testament say about the pastor's care for the church? And then what does the New Testament say about the members' care for one another in the church? So those three ideas, we're just going to follow those, about Jesus' care for the church, the pastor's care for the church, and the members' care for one another. Now, maybe you're here, you're not a member today of RBC. We're really glad you're here, and perhaps you're wondering, you know, what's the relevance of this topic to you this morning. After all, you know, we're even going to look at what the handout is. It's got some excerpts from some of our church documents. Say, well, you know, what would be the relevance of this if you're not a member? Well, I'd say if you're not a member of this church, but you would say that you do trust the gospel and you follow Jesus, I hope that this study will just help you see the importance of the church, that God has designed the church as the place where his people give affectionate care for others and where his people receive the affectionate care from others that they need to be able to run the race that God set before them. But maybe you're visiting and you don't actually even believe the message about Jesus yourself. Maybe you're here today, but maybe you've had bad experiences with churches in the past, or you just decided to come today. Or maybe you're just here and you come regularly, but you don't really believe. If that's you, I hope this study would open your eyes to how much Jesus cares for you and to what the church is really called to be. But for those of us who are believers in the Lord and who have covenanted together at this local church, what are the goals for this study for us? The first thing, I want you to be reminded that Jesus loves you and that he cares for you. Jesus died for you. He still loves you today. And he'll love you tomorrow. Jesus cares for you. Second, I want us to be reminded that Jesus has given the church pastors to care for the church. For him. As one of those pastors, I want to let you know that we care for you and that we want to encourage you and help you in specific ways this year to follow Christ with us. And then the third thing is I want to remind us, if we're members of this church, I want to remind us of the commitments we've already made to one another. See, when we look at New Year's, we often think about making new commitments, commitments to do things that we've never made commitments about before, perhaps. But today, what I really want to do is I want to remind us or encourage us to remember the commitments we've already made about what we will do for one another in 2018. And specifically, the commitment to affectionately care for each other. So you've received this handout. We're going to start by just looking a little bit at what some of these things about our church are, but then we'll be in the text of the New Testament. So if you take a look at this, some of you might be familiar with this, some of you might not be familiar with these. We have three kind of core documents for the church. One is the mission and vision of the church. The vision statement is basically about what we long to be as a church. By God's grace, what would we hope God would raise up here? What would we see in the future that this church will be marked by? The doctrinal statement is what we believe as a church. And then the church covenant is what we promise to do as the church. And so, as you see this handout, I'm not going to even read all that's on these. These are just some excerpts. I just want to highlight some of the things that I think are bold italics on there. But from the vision statement, what we long to be as a church. We long to be a church whose membership is clearly defined and deeply committed by covenant to one another. And you can look down in the middle of that. It says, where every member's needs are deeply cared for, and where no member is ever left alone simply to wander away from the faith, and where the Christian life is being lived together in community, such that it is normal for members to be interacting, communicating, meeting, serving, and visiting with one another multiple times per week, if not daily, as we see the day drawing near. Okay, that's our vision for what the church might look like. Every member's needs deeply cared for. Every member actively engaged in each other's lives. But then look at what it says about the pastors. So under a church which is organizationally healthy, where biblically qualified elders or pastors lead the church body humbly, instruct the flock faithfully, pray for the flock affectionately, and shepherd the flock lovingly, as those who must give an account for their care for the sheep. And then down later, you see where the church members honor those leaders, welcoming their correction and instruction as they seek to shepherd well. So you want to be a church with pastors, spiritual shepherds, who pray affectionately for the church and who shepherd lovingly as those who are going to give an account. And we want to have a membership that welcomes the input and love and care of its pastors. And then you can look down at the doctrinal statement. We won't look as much at this, but we read some of this today, and I'll just highlight a bit about it. We say we believe that the church exists for many reasons, but one of the reasons the church exists, that Jesus has created the church, is so that the church cares for and builds up its members. And then down in the next paragraph, every member of a local church, this is what we believe, that every member of a local church is gifted by God in unique ways for the good of the entire body, and is to serve Christ faithfully, and is to seek the well-being of his or her brothers and sisters. You see, that's what we believe. That's what we say. We believe that the New Testament says this. But then, when you look at the covenant is not simply what we say we believe. The covenant is what every member of this church promises to one another before God to do. And here's just two excerpts from it. We read this every time that we welcome a new member. We read this whole covenant together, and we say this. We reaffirm this every time. And here's just a part of it. We say, we will carry each other's burdens, rejoicing in each other's happiness and weeping in each other's sorrows, while faithfully serving and praying for one another. And it says, we will honor the leadership of this church and exercise an affectionate care for one another, admonishing and encouraging one another as the occasion may require, while faithfully striving to stir one another up toward love and good works. This is more than simply what we believe God says. This is something we've covenanted to do. Now, I want to get to the text. And of course, in one Sunday, we're just going to get a taste of what the New Testament says about this topic of affectionate care. But I hope it'll be a good taste. And I wanted to go three parts. Jesus' care for you as his church. The pastor's care for the church. And then the members' care for one another. Now, we've already read from the Old Testament and sung from the Old Testament about the Lord's special care for his people. Okay, this is all over the Old Testament. Whether with Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside the quiet waters. He restores my soul. Or like we read in Isaiah 40, the Lord God will come in might, and what will he do? He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He'll gather the lambs in his arms and he'll carry them close to his heart and gently lead those that are with young. And there's much more in the Old Testament about God's affectionate care for his people, but I want to take you back to the New Testament text. Maybe you're still there, the one that Julie read, from John 10, because we can only look at maybe one or two texts on each of these themes. And so you look at John 10, which is clearly picking up on Old Testament text about God being the shepherd of his people. Texts like Psalm 23, or texts especially in Jeremiah and Ezekiel 34. But Jesus says in John 10, verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who's a hired hand and not a shepherd, when danger comes, like he runs away. Verse 13, he flees because he's a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd, he says. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So this is where all of our discussions of caring for one another or a pastor's care for the flock, this is where they all have to start. There's one great shepherd of our souls. One great shepherd of this flock. And that is our Lord Jesus, the good shepherd, the one who cared for us this much, that he laid down his life for us. And did you notice how Jesus contrasts himself with a hired hand? I love it. He says, when danger comes, the hired hand runs away because he cares nothing for the sheep. See, that's not Jesus. Jesus will never leave us or forsake us. He's our great shepherd. As Peter says, you were straying like sheep, but you've now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Jesus came to seek us, to find his lost sheep, and to bring us into his flock. And he will never leave us. And then just as one example of his continued care for the flock, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. And the text in Ephesians 5 is primarily about husbands needing to love their wives. But I want us to look at it to see how Paul talks about how Jesus cares for his bride, the church. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Paul says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her so that he could sanctify her and cleanse her, so he could present the church to himself, in verse 27, in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that the church would be holy and without blemish. That's how much Christ loved this church. He gave his life for us so that we would be beautiful and clean. But it's not just that he cared for us when he died for us. But verse 28 says, in the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Verse 29, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. Because we're members of his body. So much could be said about the passage, but you see, Christ today loves the church. He nourishes the church. He cherishes us. We are his body. He cares for us deeply, affectionately. He cares about what's going on here today. He is with us. He watches us. He watches over us. He cares about you this week. Remember, Jesus is your great shepherd. He laid down his life for you, and he cares for you today. That is the foundation of all of our discussions of caring for one another. Whether as pastors or as members, we come back to this. Jesus loves me. He loves us. He cares for us. Now, how does he do that? See, we could think and we could discuss this, even this week, many ways that Jesus cares for us. But one of the ways that Jesus cares for you, one of the many ways, but one of the important ways of how Jesus cares for his sheep today is that he makes sure his sheep aren't alone. When Jesus saves us, he unites us to his body so that he can make sure that we're cared for week in and week out. And not only that, Jesus gives to his church, to each local church, spiritual shepherds, men who serve under him, for him, for the good of those sheep. You see, these shepherds that Jesus gives to his people through the power of God's Spirit extend Jesus' affection to Jesus' sheep. Jesus gifts the church with shepherds to shepherd under him and for him and to extend his affectionate care in real, tangible ways, week in and week out. Now, again, we can only scratch the surface of this today, but I'm going to point out two texts about the pastor's affectionate care for the sheep that Jesus gives him. One is from Paul, and one is just one verse from Hebrews. But from Paul, I want you to look at Acts chapter 20, where Paul rehearses his own care for the church in Ephesus. He had spent 3 years in Ephesus training people, loving people, training future pastors for the church. And now, in Acts 20, he meets with those pastors of the church because he doesn't think he's ever going to see them again. And he's trying to tell them about how they need to shepherd the people now. So he reminds them, here's how I shepherded the people. And here's how you need to shepherd them now because you're the ones that are staying there. He's not staying in Ephesus anymore. Acts 20, verse 18. I just wanted you to think about what Paul's saying. When they, these pastors, came to Paul, he said to them, Acts 20, 18, you yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable in teaching you, notice, in public and from house to house. Just two things so far that I want to point out. First, did you notice the phrase with tears? This was Paul's ministry, to serve humbly with tears, which is to say, to affectionately care for the sheep, to hurt with them when they're hurting, to grieve for them when they're wandering away. But second, did you see how Paul says that he taught both in public and from house to house? Paul would go in and out of the homes of the people in his care to encourage them, teach them, and shepherd them. It was not simply what he did publicly. It was both public and from house to house. Now look down to verse 28. So now he tells these guys who are going to be the pastors, who are the pastors now of the church. He says, you pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. And he says, I know there's going to be people that are going to come in, even from among you, who are going to try to destroy the sheep. So verse 31, therefore be alert and remember that for 3 years I did not stop night or day to admonish everyone with tears. A couple of things again. You see, the Holy Spirit appoints overseers or pastors to care for the church of God, to shepherd the people. Jesus is the great shepherd, but in his kindness to his sheep, Jesus appoints, through his Spirit, gifted men to care for his sheep, for him. But did you also notice that God's love for you in this text? How did he win us? How did he obtain us? How did we become his own? It was through the blood of his own. Through his own blood, through the blood of his own son. God cares for us. And then third, did you notice how Paul describes his own ministry again? 3 years, night and day, admonishing everyone with tears. That's pastoral care. Now look at verse 36. I just want you to picture the scene. When Paul had said these things, he knelt down and he prayed with them all. Group of guys that he had shepherded and he had trained. And there was much weeping on the part of everybody. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the word which he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they took him to the ship. See, that is the result of the kind of care that Paul showed day in and day out for 3 years. For the whole church, but these men especially, when he leaves and they realize they'll probably never see him again, everybody's weeping. See, that's the kind of relationship that you want to have with your spiritual shepherds, where they love and care for you, and you love and care for them. Now, as one more text on the idea of pastoral care, I want you to go to the book of Hebrews, and I want to look at just one verse, one of the most important verses on pastoral care in the Bible. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Now, it's directed at the members of the church primarily and how they're supposed to respond to the shepherds. But I want to think right now about what it says about the shepherd's care. Hebrews 13, verse 17. The author says, obey your leaders and submit to them because they are keeping watch over your souls, as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, because that would be of no advantage to you or anybody, really. Now we're going to see this. We all have responsibility to care for each other, but this text reminds us that pastors have a unique responsibility and accountability. Not everybody in here is going to give this kind of account for how we care for this group of people. Not everybody is going to give this account. We may all have responsibilities, we do, but not everybody has this kind of accountability. This is part of why we need pastors. We need men who are entrusted by Jesus with the responsibility to care for our souls, to keep watch over us. But then notice, around this thought in that verse is how the church members are supposed to respond. The members are to follow the leadership of their pastors in such a way that the pastors can do this, can keep watch over your souls with joy and not with groaning. What do you think that means? Can you imagine that? Members of a church making it so that the pastors who are trying to watch over them end up groaning as they do it instead of doing it with joy. I mean, in other words, I think it's just saying the sheep are to be responsive to the shepherds so that they're able to do this, fulfill Jesus' call with joy, not with groaning. So the foundation of all the care that we talk about as a church is Jesus cares for us. But when Jesus saved us, he united us to a group of people to care for you like he wants you to be cared for. He unites you to a church, and he gifts pastors in that church to extend his care to you. And then he unites you to a whole body of believers so that they will all care for you, so that none of us would be alone, so that all of us would be loved and cared for affectionately. Now, again, we're just going to get a taste of this last idea about the whole church's care for one another. But I'm going to keep us in Hebrews for one text, go back to Hebrews chapter 3, then we'll close with one text in 1 John. Hebrews 3, so go back a little bit. Hebrews 3, we're going to look at verse 12. Hebrews 3, 12. The author says, "Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." See, this text shows us one aspect of the care we're supposed to have for each other. We all need to be driven by this goal, that every one of us makes it to the finish line. Okay? That not one of us falls away from the living God. Okay? You and I both need this. I need you to care for me this much, that you would never let me go. And you need every member of this body to care for you in the same way. So what does the text say? Exhort one another every day, as long as it's called today, so no one is hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And isn't that the reality when we're falling into sin? That often the last thing we want is people around us from the church. Sin always wants to remain hidden. Sin always wants to isolate us because it's so deceitful. And we're all engaged in a battle against the passions of our flesh, and we're all going to fail at different times. And that's part of why we need the church so much, because you need people who are committed to make sure you don't fall away from the living God. But here's another question. What do you think about the everyday in this text? What do you think about that? Exhort one another. This is to all the church. Exhort one another every day. I mean, what do we do with that? Now, some of this I'm going to leave for us to discuss in our community groups. But just think about this for a moment. I mean, think about how that text might be calling us to shift our priorities, to shift them around, to make sure that we're able to care for our brothers and sisters well. I mean, or think about how central the church family needs to be in your life to be able to do that. But also think of this. Think of the joy of this thought. that when the church functions like that, you gain a spiritual family, a sense of belonging. When you love your brothers and sisters like that, and when they love and care for your soul like that, the church can be the closest knit group you've ever been in, and it ought to be, because we're united by things deeper than blood. And when the church takes seriously these kinds of commands, you gain a family. You really belong. But it takes you, me, every person taking these kinds of commands seriously. Now I want to go to one text in 1 John where we'll close, because it looks at affectionate care from another angle. In Hebrews, it's more about exhorting, admonishing, and there's even other texts in Hebrews about that. But from John, 1 John, he looks at this about how we care for one another in a different area of life. I want you to look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. 1 John 3, verse 14. He says, "We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers and sisters." I mean, just stop and think about that. He says, how do you know that you're not dead anymore and that you've passed from death to life? Because you love the church. Whoever does not love abides in death. Verse 15, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. You know, no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. See, Jesus loved us and cared for us. But then we read, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. And he says in verse 17, but if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in that person? I mean, what do you think John's answer is to that? But then we read verse 18. Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and he knows everything. What a great text. And I think it's been really caught by this, that God increases our assurance that we belong to him when we love one another. Did you notice that? It's at both at the beginning and the end of the text, that we will know that we are truly alive when we love each other. And that God will reassure our hearts, our doubting hearts, when we love each other. But what a challenging text it is, that the measure of our affectionate care for one another is Christ's love for us. I mean, it's so clear in the text. We're to lay down our lives for one another because Christ laid down his life for us. We're to do whatever it takes, whatever it costs, to make sure every member of this body is taken care of. And it takes more than talk. Let's not love in word alone, but in deed and in truth, John says. Now, that's a very, might not seem brief, but that's a very brief survey for this amount of these themes. And if you're interested in studying the topic of affectionate care more, email me. And I have put together like a handout that I would send you where you could look at about 50 New Testament texts divided into those three categories, and you could just soak in them. But for today, I just wanted to give us a taste of what God says about caring for one another. And then what I want to close with is I want us to think about this and how it relates to 2018. Okay, so I want to start with saying this. If you don't know Christ, I simply ask this. Is Christ calling you to himself today and into this flock? And into his flock? Jesus loved you. He gave his life for you. Jesus cares for your soul. You turn from your rebellion against him, and you listen to his voice if he's calling to you. You cry out for mercy, and he'll take you up in his arms, and he'll welcome you. For those who are not members of a gospel-preaching church, but who would say, I identify with Jesus, I do love him and trust in him, I want to encourage you to do whatever it takes to be connected meaningfully to a local fellowship. This one, if God wills, so that you are under the care of spiritual shepherds, so that you have a family that will exercise affectionate care toward you, and so you're able to use your gifts and exercise affectionate care toward the spiritual family in obedience to Jesus. For our members, I want to highlight two things today as we ponder just what this might look like in 2018. One has to do with your pastors and our desire to care for you. This year, it's our goal to have at least one intentional shepherding visit with each of our members in 2018. And it might take us the whole year to do that, but we want to be able to come to your home, if possible, to pray together, to read the word together, to be able to hear of your walk with Christ, and to be able to encourage you and guide you in your walk with Christ. And I hope you can see from our study today why we would want to do that. Part of my goal in doing this today was to get all of us to see that in the text, because I know that for some, depending on your background with church, for some of us, having pastors come and like want to talk to you, you just think you're in trouble. Okay? But I want you to know that that's not what we want you to think. Those visits are for your good, and they're just a sign of our affectionate care for you, the care that Jesus calls us to exercise for the flock. And so what I would ask is that you always welcome the input and care of your pastors. But then the second thing for our church is I hope that today, this first Sunday of 2018, it's not been so much about a challenge about making new commitments. I hope it's been a reminder of the commitments we all have already made. Certain promises we've made to one another. Important promises. Hard promises. To do what Christ says for this particular church body. I'd encourage you this week to stop and evaluate the last couple of months. And to think, to consider the degree to which you've been following the scriptures on what we've talked about. And what has your affectionate care for this body actually looked like? And listen, where we have failed to follow Christ's call to us, to care for the body like we should, confess your sins and trust the promises of the gospel, the promises of forgiveness and pardon, that Christ died for us, for our sins, that he loves us still, that he still welcomes us to this table today. On the other hand, where there's been signs of God's grace in your life these last couple of months, think about those too. I see them. I see many of them among us. And thank God that you've passed from death to life, because that's how you know. And then the last thing, I would encourage us to spend time with the Lord, maybe a spouse, growth group, pastors, praying, thinking, planning. What exercising affectionate care for the body might look like in 2018. Because though we might like to think that we'll automatically exercise affectionate care for one another, it's just not the case. We are all prone to withdraw, to look out only for our own interests, to fill our lives with business and busyness. So pray, think, and talk about what it might actually look like to increase your affectionate care for this body of believers, your brothers and sisters, these people for whom Christ died. For all of us, lastly, remember this. Jesus loves us. He is the good shepherd. He laid down his life for the sheep. He cared for us when he died for us. He still cares for us today. And I assure you, he's not going anywhere. So let's put our hope in his steadfast love as we seek to follow him together in 2018. Let's pray. Father, what do we say to your love for us? We don't deserve it. We've done nothing to deserve your affection, your care for us. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Would you help us? Would you help our pastors? Give us hearts of compassion for this body. Give this body love for the pastors. Would you give us love for one another? Oh Spirit, please produce in this body the fruits of kindness and goodness and gentleness, of affectionate care, so that people will see our love and know we belong to Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.